Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I have to get done with this podcast very quickly today so I can get on a plane and go up to the Easter egg roll. Are they still doing it? Do they still do it up
absolutely.
There?
Absolutely. I'm so pleased you're not going to, you know, I thought you'd be past that by now.
No, I love the thing. I really do.
Who are you dressed as this year?
I'm not. I'm actually participating. Every other year I participate and push the little ones out of the way so that I can win. So I can win big.
Yeah. It's a Trump egg roll. So everything is bigger. Everything's better. They're only boiling goose eggs this year.
Well, Happy Easter Monday,
everybody.
Did
they get a sponsor? They were looking for a corporate sponsor for it.
I would think that it was the president of the United States. He'd be able to, especially with the 80 million people liking the guy. I mean, you'd probably be able to get a sponsor. He's certainly capable of doing that. He knows how to brand, I would think. But happy Easter Monday. I hope your day.
And pronto to you, Mike.
Was a pronto. I hope your day was special. And kudos to our late Pope. Pope Francis, who was able to get in one last appearance for the Easter followers. That's pretty dedicated right up until the day before he passes away.
That's
pretty
the
special.
Industry of church. A pastor cannot leave before Christmas or before Easter. You have to get through those 2 days.
Incredible, though, when you really think about his reputation as a giver and somebody who was a really popular pope and somebody who was able to do that right till the end. It's kind of weird.
The appearance. Did you see the appearance on Easter Sunday?
I saw them. I saw a very, very brief wheeling him out in a wheelchair, and he did not look good. He looked like he could have been at
did
the end.
Did they have sunglasses on him like in Weekend at Bernie's?
No, he was alive. Right?
He was alive. Well, that's good. I mean,
he did.
Easter's
he did
a big
speak.
Deal for him.
Now, when he met with J.D. Vance, it looked like he could not open his mouth.
J.D. Vance killed him. J.D. Vance killed him.
He put eyeliner on the Pope, and then he killed him.
It's just, we'll get to the details on that if you didn't know. If you're getting, by the way, if you're getting your latest news from this show, I have to tell you my warning, Will Robinson.
Yeah.
Very scary to do that. But I hope everybody's Easter was fine. And
it's fine.
Very secular in my home. More secular than it's ever been. Not only no church, but no real family to speak of as
Ditto.
Far as
did you hide eggs? Did you hunt for eggs?
Didn't do got my son a basket, got him a little gift, and it was on with our day, and then made fried rice again. What?
Was it a God themed gift? Was it appropriate for Easter or was it
No, there was no God in my Easter. As a matter of fact, I went out to get some fixins for the dinner. And it was I had the most secular of Easters as I went to the Mart of Wall right next to my house. By the way, that tells you the neighborhood I live in.
Sure. Well,
right
think
next
of your
to the
small,
Walmart.
I mean, you can walk to Walmart, thus reducing your carbon footprint.
Yeah, well, I didn't do that. I I drove, and I had to get some frozen peas.
Yes,
and I had to get in. What did I get? I got a frozen peas.
Did you
and,
get eggs?
Eggs, thank you. I got eggs. And
so you did go on an egg hunt?
Technically.
Yeah.
Pretty picked through. Price is not too shabby. $5, right? That's $5 and change. Not bad for a dozen eggs. And they were free range.
Wasn't a long time ago they were $2.
But, I mean, weren't they like, didn't they get up to $7 or something like that?
Yeah, they were up to $7, $8.
It's still too much.
Remember the lady in... the grocery store gave me $10 for that dozen eggs.
Yeah. That's that's seriously an improvement.
And these are chicken eggs you bought?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you do? No, quail.
They're
quail
so
eggs.
Small. You need to double the amount of eggs in your rice if you're using quail eggs.
Maybe because of my own paranoia, I felt as though the people at the store, and it was packed.
Really?
Packed. Yeah, I believe we are moving. We need more people like Josh. I think if we were a more religious world, we might be better off.
Well, I also went to Walmart yesterday.
You did on Easter Sunday? You're the only one I held out hope for. Well,
it's really bad because that's Easter. That's when the prices rise again.
No, I forgot my mic stand, so I needed a mic stand.
Did they have Walmart, one at Walmart?
They did not. Walmart is the only place that was open within like 60 miles. And they did not
accoutrement
have
for podcasts. Yeah. They have that big gap in their products.
Well, you know? I just about ruined.
They used to carry like music instruments and stuff. Now it's all stuff for video game streamers.
Were you able to
Some LED lights?
No, you don't want LED light. Were you able to jerry rig something?
I've got a little tiny stand. Okay, it's working.
I think that the only electronics are those TVs they have in the aisle.
Yes.
Those TVs that they just slide out into the aisle and give you a Hisense. Is that or is it Hisense?
I think it's Hisense, but I know the brand. I about ruined my Easter.
How'd you do that?
We realized that the kids are away, so it's really kind of hard to get into Easter if you don't have kids. But my mom was at home, a couple miles away. I said, why don't we go over
and hide your mom
and hide my mom and see if anyone can find her.
Hide your mom and try to find her. Hide her somewhere in the D.C. metro. And, Carrie hides her, and it's your job for the entire day to find her. Without any technological assistance.
No, or shirt. I have to walk around D.C. shirtless.
Not wearing a
shirt? No, what? She's wearing an outfit.
Okay. All right.
Like an Easter outfit.
So what did you do with your mom?
Well, we thought, you know what? Let's go over there and get a small ham, and she'll make potato salad, and we'll have a little Easter dinner and a visit. I thought that would be very nice.
That's it. That's family.
Yeah.
It's, I didn't have, my mother-in-law was going somewhere with her beau, mm-hmm. and my sister was all the way out in Hawaii.
So
on one of her many vacations.
So I got the most of the close family we could together, and what we did is the night before we said, you know what, let's do the Target pickup, where you put in all the things you want, and they select it, and they just bring it right out to your car because you've already paid for it.
Target the store?
Yeah. And because we've got a super Target with a grocery, the whole deal. And so we put in the order on Saturday night.
Very 1991 of you.
Just
you make it sound like they just invented them. Right.
To be honest, don't care. Don't care that they have it, but you were about to pounce on it. So I was going to say that we have a grocery store because you were probably going to say you bought a ham at Target. I saw it in your eyes.
I think, no, I was going to say that you were mentioning Target like it was some phenomenon.
No, it's not.
We've got a super Target. They probably had a super, it's probably been there for 30 years.
So anyway.
Also, like curbside pickup's a new thing.
Yeah. That was big during the COVID, but I'm just telling
you. The way you set it up was just interesting because you were kind
of
saying.
It's important to the rest of the story, you see.
Okay.
So we put in the order on Saturday night, and the whole deal, it was going to be perfect. And it was not even that expensive because we hit a couple shopping tiers where they would drop the price again. So we got a whole Easter dinner for like $52, and that included a case of Cokes. So I was happy. So we got up, and they said, when are you going to pick up your order? And we said sometime about noon today. And then they said, well, we're closed today. So not only did I not have a ham for Easter dinner.
Whoa, hold on. You would set up to buy an Easter dinner and pick it up on Easter Sunday?
Yeah. And then
without checking whether they were open on Sunday?
You have to admit, it seems like Target should be open on Easter. Walmart was.
But
and so I didn't. Assumed.
But I checked before I went out.
Well, this is
when
how
did
I
it
ruined
say for
it.
Pick
Mike.
Up when you checked out.
It said, it can be ready in as soon as 2 hours or fill in the time. So we're going to fill in the time the next day. And they're closed. So we had none food to bring to my mom's. Luckily, Giant was open. And by the time we got to Giant, it was great. Because
well, let's not gloss over this.
Okay.
I think it's important for consumers out there to realize that when there is a major holiday like Easter or Christmas, there are only really two, maybe 4th of July might be included. That's it. I don't think you even count Labor Day on that. But, I mean, I think it's really crucial to at least have somewhat of an awareness of whether or not the store is open. So this is my main question to you.
Mm-hmm.
When you were scheduling pickup.
Right.
you could have done it right. You ordered this on Saturday?
It was in the evening. We didn't want to go out in the evening. We thought it'd be easier to pick it up.
But you could have typed in when you were going to pick it up.
Select Sunday?
All I'm doing here is taking blame for the fact that I didn't know they were closed and that I ruined the
Easter dinner. Don't get defensive.
No, but that's true. How I felt.
We're just going through your process or lack thereof. That's what we're doing here.
The website let you pick Sunday?
We're going to pick the next day.
Pick the date.
Oh, okay.
Right. We just placed the order. And so Costco was closed. Target was closed. Luckily, my Giant regular business hours on Easter, they put a sign
God bless
up there
them.
And went in, and it was great because by the time we got there, all of the $60
did the money already come out of your credit card,
Mike? We're getting to that. The $60 hams were down to $9, but we got to Giant so late we weren't gonna have time to cook a ham. So what it resulted in is we made hamburgers, which were great, but now today I'm going to have a ham at my house and no occasion. So I'm just going to have like a loose.
So the ham from Target comes to your house today?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you have to pick it up?
Yeah. Well, Carrie will. Carrie will.
Why can't
because we're down to one car, as you know. Yeah. No, you can't cancel
it.
You can't. Carrie said you can't. I don't know. This whole shopping online is something I hate because I like to be in a store, but Carrie swore it was the way to go. I'm not trying to shift blame here.
It's exactly what you're doing.
No. Not at all. I'm saying I don't understand. She told me you can't cancel it. I actually did all the shopping. I did the pointing and clicking, and I hated the whole time. I don't like
that. So how is that? And then how is that Carrie's fault?
What do you mean?
Your wife.
No, I'm not at all. I'm just saying Carrie said it can't be
canceled.
Well,
what are you doing exactly, Rob?
I'm trying to take the blame for ruining Easter and the fact that now two people are going to have a ham in their house that's going to last until the 4th of July. Because two people, I mean, not much better for three people.
I think you're exaggerating that a little bit, aren't you, really, with your love of ham?
I do love ham.
You can kill that ham in a week and a half.
It's still a ham. It's still a big hunk of meat. And all I think about is I can make soup.
Stop babbling. Can I make a suggestion right now?
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Why don't you have a real Easter dinner on on another weekend, like maybe this coming weekend with your mom? You do that?
No, this was Easter weekend. The Pope died this weekend. It's got to be this weekend. It does.
I think it would
be ham today for honoring the Pope.
Maybe. Yeah. It wouldn't be good for Passover, would it?
Getting back to the whole thing.
To apologize for my ruining of Easter. That's all.
To your family?
Yeah. I mean, the burgers were good, but it's not a ham.
It's only two people, though. It's your mom and your... Was Carrie pissed?
Oh, spitting nails. No, Carrie doesn't care. She doesn't care.
Were you pissed?
I was. Because I don't like to mess things up.
But I'm surprised they let you check out without putting
the
pickup.
They love all that.
No. I mean, really, most places, if you're going to do a pickup, you're going to book an airline, you're going to do that. You know, you got to have the dates locked in before they do that. And then they would have let you know in advance. And they obviously let you skip a step.
It's not exactly
their fault. It's not your fault.
It's not air travel, Mike. It's a grocery store. All they care is.
When you're ordering online for pickup specifically.
Yeah. But they haven't collected the order yet because we haven't put in a pickup time. They'll do the pickup. They'll collect the order when we finally.
Well, then that you could probably call them. You haven't put it in yet.
Oh yeah, we've paid for it.
Well, cancel it. I bet you can cancel it when you put in a pickup time.
If they haven't collected, if your order was designed for pickup,
right?
So you click on their website and say, "This is a." Deliver to the car, pick up, or car,
right.
Come out to the car.
Right.
And you have not specified that, and you paid for it already. You can call the particular store, which is your home store on the website, and you can say, we didn't realize that. The thing is, I'm surprised they let you consummate the order.
Fully consummated.
Mm-hmm. What's that, Josh?
Call the store and tell them that you're out of town for Easter and you accidentally ordered it at the wrong location.
Oh, if I'm going to lie, it's going to be a better lie than that.
No, I think they'll give you a free pass if they haven't, since your order has not been selected yet by the store.
Yeah.
So you can say, we didn't realize we ordered on Saturday, which you did.
Right.
We were going to pick up Sunday.
Right. We didn't specify the pickup time. Right.
Because we chose not to put in the pickup time, and it was a time, not a day.
Right.
But you figured you weren't sure when you were going to get out of the house to pick it up, and you probably had to have, what, an hour window?
No, 2 hours. They need two
hours. A two-hour window. You didn't realize at the time that they were going to be closed on Easter Sunday. You cannot be the only people that do that.
All I'm going is, Carrie is...
Google says you should have had an email that will have a cancellation button in it.
I'll speak to Mrs. Spiewak.
To confirm your order.
Why can't you do it?
Because it's her account.
You said you do all the ordering.
She handed me her phone to do the ordering. I don't have access to the account at Target.
Is she at work right now?
Yes, she's,
Okay.
So, but
Do you know where she is?
Who knows, Mike? I checked for a clock that wasn't there. But yeah, she's gone. The thing is that if there can be a refund garnered somehow, Carrie knows how to do it. She makes me look like a piker. She knows exactly what she's doing. So if she says it can't be canceled, I tend to believe that it can't be canceled.
So she gave you her phone because you were going to pick the food.
Exactly. She wasn't going to cook. Well, no, she made
deviled
eggs.
Maybe she's just really looking forward to ham this week.
Could be. You know, it is a great meat. It truly, truly is. We got a spiral cut. It was nice. We'll have it today.
But no, you won't. You won't. I bet you can cancel if they haven't collected it yet.
I hope so. I hope we can cancel it. I think that would be great. But then I don't have my Cokes, so I don't know.
There it is. There it is. He wants his case of Coke.
Well,
that's what it is. He wants his case of Coke. You want that order.
Costco's open. Just head over there and buy a case.
Well, yeah, be nice if I had a car. But as you know, Carrie murdered our car. So I'm home. But I've got three Cokes to get me through today.
You didn't finalize the deal for the used car?
No, we bailed on it. We didn't
like it. You bailed on that one. Yeah. Are you still searching for the right automobile?
Yes, every day. And I don't know that it exists, Mike, the perfect automobile.
Okay. All right.
So anyway, Easter was fine. We hid no eggs. We ate hamburgers.
I had fried rice. I think you out seculared me with the burgers. Yeah, but burgers can be a cookout is a common practice for Easter Sunday.
I suppose. Yeah. It was nice at my mom's. Her TV's in the other room, so we got to listen to Ben-Hur, but not watch it.
No, nobody does that anymore.
Nobody?
You're the only one except you. And I tell them what you do, because you mention it like it's a common thing. Explain. I know it because I've known you for a long time. Tell
but
people
I'm curious.
About,
you watch Ben-Hur. Do you also watch the Ten Commandments this weekend?
The other kind of similar director, maybe?
No, different director. And okay. Ten Commandments is kind of like Bugs Bunny. And Ben-Hur is like a motion picture. You have to admit the Ten Commandments is cartoony. It's so entertaining, but it's not a really serious grasp of biblical history.
Is Ben-Hur more so?
I think
Ben-Hur is not biblical.
Well, yeah, but it works adjacent to Jesus Christ. The whole life is adjacent to Jesus Christ. Ben-Hur's life.
But I don't think a lot of people say, hey, let's gather and
no, but it was always on TV
Ben-Hur.
On like Channel 20 on Easter. And it was
but
a
it's
good
not
background.
Any longer.
No, it's not. So I didn't watch
it. It is no longer. That is the Ollie. Ollie, why do you still think Ben-Hur is relevant on Easter Sunday?
If I have to teach you how to watch a biblical film, I will, but we don't have time right now.
Jim, you're there. You're not in my mother's house.
If anyone knows what we're doing, I'm sure there are a small group that know what we're doing.
A lot of people do, yeah.
You're there, and I'm here. And what are you trying to say?
Does your mother share your enjoyment
Older
cinema?
Films? Yeah. And you know what? It's traditional to watch the Ten Commandments once a year, but ABC blew it. They ran it on like the 12th, and that's too early. It should be closer to Easter.
No, they don't run the Ten Commandments for Easter. They run it for Passover.
But a lot of times it's the people assume it as an Easter film because it is a religious film. And I might
but
be one
an
of
Old Testament.
Yeah.
Film.
Yeah, and what you don't recognize the Old Testament? That's a great
I
testament.
I do, but
it's he knows more about it than
Passover
we do,
and the Jewish people.
But it does have religious underpinnings. The
Where's your Messiah now? See?
It has a religious theme, and I think they should.
Ben-Hur does?
Well, they both do.
But what's Ben-Hur about?
Ben-Hur, the guy, converts to Christianity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a chariot race. Oh, a glorious chariot race. It's fantastic. But it's a very good film. And but
is that John Ford?
No. I don't know who directed the Ten
Cecil
Commandments.
Cecil B. DeMille?
DeMille did the Ten Commandments. I don't know who directed Ben-Hur. Might be William Wyler. I'd have to
Billy check. Wilder.
Not Billy Wilder. William Wyler.
Who is Billy Wilder?
Billy Wilder did comics.
It was William Wyler.
Yes.
Wyler.
Yes. Wyler.
Wyler.
Billy Wilder did comedy movies. He did
That's okay. I don't need to know
like
that.
Something Like It Hot. And,
Ben-Hur, what's the story of Ben-Hur? What is that?
Well, Ben is a kid, and he's running around having a good time. No, he is friends with Masala, and they grow up. One is a Jew, and one is Christian. And eventually, Ben-Hur.
How many times have you seen it?
Probably five. It's been a while since I've seen it. It's an investment, and it's not as cotton candy-like as the Ten Commandments. But what's great...
Do you not like the Ten Commandments?
I love the Ten Commandments. I just didn't watch it.
You're kind of dissing
the Ten Commandments. It sounds like you don't.
No,
yeah, you sound like you're trashing it.
No, it is a cotton candy version of the Old Testament. It's delightful to watch. There's so much acting in it.
Oh, it's a popcorn movie.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
Ten Commandments is a popcorn movie. Ben-Hur is serious cinema.
But yeah, I would agree with that.
No, it can't be serious cinema. It's got Charlton Heston, the overacting Charlton Heston.
No, it's his best role. It's his
He never had a best role.
Yes, he did, and this is it.
He was a scenery chewer.
Yeah, he chews scenery. Oh, I can give you much, but he chews scenery in the Ten Commandments. He plays Moses.
He chooses scenery in Ben-Hur, too.
Not as much. He's more controlled. He chews scenery in The Greatest Show on Earth. And probably, what is
Soylent
it?
Soylent Green.
Omega Man. Isn't that another one of his?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But you listened to it? You didn't watch it?
Well, it was in the background. I recognize the score. At the end, the lepers get cured. That's a great part.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to watch it, did you have to go put your DVD in?
What? No, like, no. It was
you
on
said
Turner.
It's not on Oh, I thought you said it wasn't on TV anymore.
Not on broadcast television. I think the two oldest movies that are continuing to be on broadcast television are It's a Wonderful Life. NBC has that. That's 1946 or 7. And then the Ten Commandments on ABC, which is in the 50s, I think.
Can I tell you about my television that might be a little more current than Ben-Hur?
Well, I mean, all I was saying, like, it was on TV yesterday. That's
okay. But, yeah, but I mean, I just want to give you, because I've been waiting, chomping. I didn't do this on Friday's bonus show because I wanted to wait. But I am here to tell you that it's rare. It doesn't happen all the time. And I'm not going to go with Breaking Bad rare. I'm just going to go with excited to see if there will be a season two rare. And that's okay. To me, you can break down a television presentation in... When you're done with that TV presentation, do you want to immediately know if there will be a following season?
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm not the only one that got really, really excited about that. I'm going to tell you here that this show with Noah Wiley called The Pit, which is about an emergency room in Pittsburgh, is not even close the best show on television. You know, falls into different categories. You get shows that everybody watches that aren't as good as we wanted, The White Lotus. And then you get shows like Breaking Bad, where everybody watched it and it was a masterpiece. I really consider Breaking Bad to be a masterpiece. And then you get a show like The Pit that's just gets better and better and is really good. And but you do have to get by a slight jive factor in the dialogue because it moves at such a pace where you can't have that much dialogue without getting a little bit that slips through the cracks, but I'm going
to
tell
you. It goes back to ER, which the show is clearly based on. Some people even say a failed spinoff of, but
no, that's shortchanging it. Let me tell you why. The ER was even more jive than the Pit because ER did not have any of the real, real nitty gritty that The Pit has. And I am telling you, here's what's great about it. I think when you can see art on screen or on a little screen that makes you come away appreciating the people that are being dramatized, That's a triumph. And you will walk away from the pit with not only an appreciation of the people who work in the emergency rooms and what they deal with, and my God, do they show it on this show, but you will also, and not an, you know, not just a, an appreciation for the stress they're under and the pressure they're under, but the breadth of knowledge that they have accumulated. And I think we forget, God Almighty, have we forgotten in our society more than we ever have, we've forgotten what real intellectual accomplishment means. And you go to school and you get a great grade point average and a great SAT score, you get into a good undergrad program. You get into a good undergrad program. If you really want to get into a medical school, your grades have to be that much better. And to get through a medical school, it's the same standard. And then that's just the beginning, because you have to go through your residency and you have to become, you know, completely versed in whatever your specialty is. It is such a tribute to doctors everywhere and their knowledge and what they do, and combine that with great character development and you got yourselves. I have no hesitation in saying this is the best program on television right now, because it gives you such a little perspective. I found myself emotional for not the reasons that you would think, because death is portrayed and lots of carnage is portrayed because of what happens during the show. But I found myself emotional thinking about the people we don't appreciate. And so many people that went through COVID and dealt with this crap.
Oh, I know.
And we just, you know, on to the next thing, on to the next. We have now put on pedestals the wrong folk. And you know, we can say all day long that we appreciate the first responders. Mm-hmm. But you want to talk about people that went right back to living in obscurity and anonymity, the people that right now, as we speak, anytime you are listening to this podcast, anytime, morning, noon, or night, there are people now, professionals, that with their blood, with their sweat, with their tears, are taking care of the very sickest of all of us. And man, oh man, I think the pit does them justice, and that's the best compliment I can give it. If you get a chance, it's on HBO Max. I think it's on Cinemax. I'm not sure which one. I get it on the app. It streams
one
on the app.
One thing that's great about it is, like 24, it takes place in real time, or roughly real time, whereas every episode,
which works for the format really well.
It really does. And it is a fine show.
I blasted out all of it. I binged it over the weekend.
14 episodes, I think.
14 or 15. It is a lot of television. And at the end,
that's
when
intense TV to watch in chunks like that. Good
it's
Lord.
Incredibly intense. And the you know, the actors that are doing this, it's the same. They had I was listening to an interview where they talked about having a medical boot camp where all of the stuff they're supposed to know and the lines they're supposed to have, they have to kind of get the versed in the knowledge of what it is to work in these ERs. I remember when I had a blood clot after I had had major surgery on my hip, and it was misdiagnosed, and then it was misdiagnosed again. And the only time they caught it was when I went to the ER, and they caught it within 60 seconds of me seeing a physician, got me, started treating me. All right. There's a level of courage in the emergency department with the doctors and nurses that work in that department. And it's because time is of the essence in a lot of these situations, where I think that they just...
And they're gutsy. They sometimes...
They're courageous. They're great. You know, for those of you that might go to... And all doctors, as I said, you get me to a cocktail party, and if there's a doctor and a pilot there, I'm a happy man, because I love to just hang out and pick their brains. I think it's so fascinating.
That's
that kind
of
accomplishment.
That's how you met Mehmet, isn't it? Mehmet Oz.
Mehmet Oz, yes, because he was a pilot.
You love doctors.
Mehmet. I love this show so much. And I didn't like it at the beginning because it does have a little of that pitter-patter dialogue where they're, you know, they all have a smart line, but it's television. They had to set up the characters too.
They had to plant the seeds. Now, do you know about the connection between that show and the aforementioned Breaking Bad?
No.
The redheaded resident with glasses, the one that might be slightly on the spectrum, is Bryan Cranston's daughter.
That young girl with the that kind of resembles a prettier female version of Ralphie with the round glasses she's the one I might have heard interviewed on NPR when they were doing a long form interview with her, and she was talking about she's magnificent in this. So many of the characters are magnificent. Josh, have you gotten a look at it yet? Because you're gonna love it.
Only the first episode, and then it was too gruesome for my wife.
So much better.
We moved. If you want an ER drama that's a little softer,
yes,
Pause on Netflix is not too bad, but much softer, more ER like.
Pause.
Okay.
Pause. Pulse.
Oh, Pulse.
That's what I said.
How did you say it again?
Pause.
Hold on, let's stop for a second here.
Pulse.
P-U. All right, say
P-U-L-S-E. Pulse.
Paul. Say Paul. Say Paul. And Paul. No, not pa. Say Paul and pronounce the L.
Paul.
Paul.
Paul. I can't do it. We're gonna have to stick with what it is.
I love you, man. Oh my God, I love this. So Pulse.
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 Pulse. Pulse. Yeah. Yep. What I said. Yeah.
That is not true. That is false.
That's right. This show, Pause, do they deal with people that can't talk?
Rob goes to Costco a lot because he likes to buy his groceries in bulk.
Yeah, absolutely. Save a lot of cost.
I think I say bulk correctly.
Bulk, like a pitcher's bulk.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you do.
Yeah, but bulk is different than bulk.
Yeah, no. Okay, so I guess I say this.
Repeat after me. Emulsify.
Emulsify.
Nailed it.
He nailed it. Yeah. So
because he loves mayonnaise.
Getting back to the pit.
Yeah, great show.
First of all, hand Noah Wiley the Emmy already. Yeah. I think there's no question he's going to win it. And as soon as it's over. And we spent the whole weekend with this. And as soon as it's over, I hop online to find out if there's going to be a season two, because it would have been a perfectly buttoned up limited series. It could very easily be a season two. Well, there's total content. Now,
back to the ER comparison. I mean, the fact exists that show started as a spinoff.
And Noah Wiley was on that show.
Yeah, and he was going to play Dr. Carter, I guess was his name on ER. He was going to play Dr. Carter in a new emergency room setting. The people that owned the rights to ER bailed, and they were left with this development of a series, so they went ahead and did it. So I feel the bones of ER in it, but also keep in mind ER was what, now 30 years ago? We're 30 years smarter. So I think it's written more currently, but I still see the bones of ER in it. I think
and
it's
Josh definitely articulated one of the it is gritty, it is gory. You're right in there on top of these procedures, and I mean you get
there was one thing that made Carrie and I both jump, because I always laugh at the beginning when it shows a show like that and it says warning has flashing lights and smoking. Okay, that's good. That's a good warning. And then in the middle of the show, they essentially show a close-up of a gynecological exam gone wrong.
Yeah.
And Carrie and I nearly left the couch, and there was no warning of that.
It is something else.
Yeah, it was.
I think, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but they might intersperse actuality footage with the content, because there are a couple of procedures in there that really almost had a jump cut that would have indicated that they were showing a reality clip of a real procedure being done. But getting back to the whole thing where
you do without the old people that are in the wheelchairs just complaining on the sidelines?
Yeah, like 100%, Rob. Yeah. I think that's one of the jive factors that's in there where, you know, I need a sandwich. You know, I get that. But I think if you're talking about an inner city hospital, and the great ones around the country. So many of the great ones are in the middle of the city, in the heart of the city. It is just something else, you know, having some, you know, medical people in my family, my cousin John in particular, just, it really is. I think when you go to see a professional, it's certainly if you're in an emergency setting, you just take, we take it for granted. We take it for granted. And they are, what they see, what they deal with, certainly in a trauma center, which this is, the Pit is based on a trauma center. It takes a mental toll, an emotional toll. There are still doctors and nurses and medical professionals that are dealing with the PTSD from COVID-19, where they watched so many people die during that particular time, and we have just eliminated it. And for this show, it's just magnificent. I really enjoyed it.
If you can watch that and not have a sort of almost an emotional gut reaction to what the doctors do, then consider yourself blessed, because you've never been through a medical emergency.
Yeah.
It brings back so many thoughts for me.
Yeah.
Of my own and my son. You know, you see these people, and I'm in touch still with some of the nurses and his doctor from,
and they're gritty ones, and there are bedside manner ones, and then there are, of course, like any business, there are, you know, not so great ones. There are, but by and large, these people that have chosen emergency medicine as their vocation, wow, what can you say?
And I mean, really, you know, special. What? But still, don't let them get addicted to opioids. That's not cool, no matter how handsome you are.
That's true. They're right there. Even with the code that they have to put in to open the drawer, they still steal, those bastards. Anyway, so it's good. The Pit, please check it out.
Check it out. It's wonderful.
And let me know. Let me know if you like it, too. I would appreciate that. And we are delighted to have you with us today and all the goings on. And do you have the music?
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I thought that we'd go to another time. I didn't realize we were this deep into the show. My fault.
Well, that's all right. That happens. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we have a fat show today. A very, very fat show.
Speak for yourself.
Very, very fat people. We will return with more fun and more thrills. Hey, everybody, let me ask you this. Do you have any delightful memories, like when you had a fun time playing ice hockey on the pond and then your sister totally supported you by keeping you from going into the house? That's a bingo.
Aloha.
Do you want to relive those halcyon days, but are they trapped on VHS tapes or film reels? That's right. When I had to poop my pants,
Mike,
and I was climbing up the hill, Kathy was there with a Super 8 movie projector filming me.
Camera.
As she denied me access, and then the accident occurred. Anyway, if you're not sure where to start with all of your early media, we found the perfect solution, Legacy Box. Legacy Box is the simple and safe solution that you can digitize all your family's precious memories with. Plus, when you go to legacybox.com/TMOS, you can enjoy 50% off when you get started with Legacy Box today. Co-founders Nick and Adam started Legacy Box in their college dorm room over a decade ago. Since then, it's grown from a team of two to the largest and most trusted digitizing company in the world. Right now, when you purchase a Legacy Box, you get 90 days free access to the Legacy Box Cloud, which is the easiest way to stream, share, and download your memories. It's like Netflix, but for your home movies.
Yep.
You can stream your vids or pics anywhere, download, organize, save them, and store them securely. The Legacy Box Cloud brings you peace of mind, and now you can't even lose your photos if you tried. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to save 50%. For a limited time only, go to legacybox.com/TMOS. That's legacybox.com/TMOS. And thank you, Kathy. I hope your Easter was swell. There it is.
She probably had a Hawaiian Easter.
I don't know where that came from. I really, really don't know.
She was mentioned in the front of the spot.
I have to tell you, at 6 a.m., I prepped the show and heard nothing last evening, because I think it happened overnight, in the middle of the night, that we lost Pope Francis. We were talking about it early. Pretty well regarded as a pope.
I think probably a step towards the future with him, considering who he the fellow he replaced.
Right, right.
I think he was good for the Catholic Church.
Pope Francis, history's first Latin American pontiff, who charmed the world with his humble style and concern for the poor, but alienated conservatives with critiques of capitalism and climate change. He died today. We're taping this on Monday, April 21st. He was 88. Bells tolled in church towers across Rome after the announcement, which was read out by Cardinal Kevin Farrell from the chapel of the Domus Santa Maria, where Francis lived. Easter Sunday was his last public appearance right till the end, a day before his death, to bless thousands of people in St. Peter's Square and treat them to a surprise Pope-mobile romp. He did the whole thing. He left the building and did the little drive through the piazza.
He knows showbiz.
Yes, showbiz till the end, drawing wild cheers and applause. Can you imagine that, though, if you make your very first trek to the Vatican and you're in St. Peter's Square for his very, very last...
You're going to get stoned because they're going to blame you. Not throw rocks at you.
No, it's not going to happen. Beforehand, he met briefly with U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance.
Dun, dun, dun!
Oh my goodness gracious! That's isn't that something?
How about that?
A very, very well regarded Pope.
Yeah, who do you think? They
How come our Christian is being so quiet right there?
Well, he's not Catholic.
I'm not very familiar with the Pope because I'm not Catholic, so I don't know much of anything.
You're non-denominational, right? You're Christian faith.
Yeah, I lean Presbyterian, but do they have a non-denominational church? No, I don't have a king.
You don't have a high poobah?
No.
I don't have a king. My church has no king. And it would have to be king. Like, I would picture like John Goodman and King Ralph with a big hat, big crown.
My memory really was that he was just kind of a humble guy. And did he replace Benedict with the red loafers? Is that who he came in afterwards?
And remember, Benedict didn't
Or do they die. Have a guy in between that died really fast?
No, I think Benedict, who looked like Uncle June, I think he stepped down.
He didn't look like Uncle
He did look June. Like, he looked just like Uncle June. But not, he didn't wear the big glasses, but he looked like Uncle June.
Uncle June, are you kidding me? I got to get to the Basilica.
Pull the white car around. I gotta go and wave at everybody.
Dominic something.
Chianese.
Chianese. I gotta get over there right now. Gotta get into the St. Peter Square. Take a ride in the Pope Mobile. That's what we have to do there.
The Pope Mobile, they won't need like a Pope hearse, will they? Because he's buried within the city.
I don't know.
Does it open to a bigger city?
I have really no idea. I don't know. But safe home to Pope
I say
Francis.
Watch out, Mike. Watch out for a female Pope. I've said it before. I think it's time.
Don't think it's going to happen. Rob Spiewak,
guarantee it's going to happen.
When I say Haley, yes, go ahead, Josh. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say I'd put money on the first black pope.
Mm-hmm, could be.
Before female.
There was one in the running for two popes ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they're going to say it's time.
Yeah. I just can't wait. Every day, Mike, now I go outside and look for the smoke.
Mm-hmm. White or black?
That's right. Exactly.
That's right. We learned that when Rob was a child, he thought he could see the smoke from his home.
I did.
Yes. Yeah. Which I think is just the sweetest little story. Rob, when I say Haley Joel Osment, what do you remember?
Well, I see dead people. The Sixth Sense.
Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis.
I see dead people,
Child actor. He pulled a Mel Gibson during his arrest for public intoxication this month.
We had the story he was an unruly skier. But I don't know that there was. I didn't know there was problems when he was arrested.
Did you know that he is in big trouble for what he said?
No.
He also called the guy by a anti-Semitic slur that rhymes with bike.
Oh, Haley.
Haley also called the guy, and here's the conundrum: an effing Nazi. But he was supposedly so wasted that he didn't even know it until TMZ released the police footage the other day where he uses the that K word. Well, and now he's doing some serious damage control.
In the in his defense, he did think that the policeman was dead the whole time.
Right. Any child that sees ghosts is going to be messed up.
Yeah, sure.
He issued a statement saying, quote, "Had I known I used this disgraceful language in the throes of a blackout, I would have spoken up sooner." He said he's been in, quote, "a very low emotional place. He didn't specifically mention it, but he did lose his home to one of those California wildfires. That would put you in a bad emotional spot.
Yeah, but I'm thinking it with the amount of work he's done lately, it might not have been that impressive of a home.
I think perhaps we haven't seen him in a lot of projects.
He's got a big face. He really grew up, unfortunately. Like, he's got like a Jay Leno face now.
Not cute
like he was.
Kind of that child actor thing that happens occasionally. Mm-hmm. He added, quote, "There's no excuse for using this disgusting word. From the bottom of my heart, I apologize to absolutely everyone that this hurts. What came out of my mouth was nonsensical garbage. I've let the Jewish community down, and it devastates me. I don't ask for anyone's forgiveness, but I promise to atone for my terrible mistake." Well, he's owning it. He can't do more than that. And
it doesn't really, you know what? His career doesn't really affect me that much anymore. So if he has to step down in shame, so be it. I'm sorry.
It doesn't affect you. It's always about you. Oh, it doesn't affect you personally.
Haley Joel Osment affects you?
I feel like any celebrity, when they own it, I kind of think it's the right thing to do, and I'm all for it. I think it's a cool thing that he is. Look, there's so much lack of responsibility, personal accountability in the world, any level that it's taken on, I approve of.
I appreciate that, but like what I'm saying is that, you know, his career being ruined is not going to fold Hollywood.
Yeah, you never know. I'm not sure where I stand on the Red Robin. Yay, nay. I really don't have an opinion.
It's one of my favorite.
It's one of your favorite. Then this will apply to you, Josh. Last week, Red Robin announced that they were selling bottomless burger passes, which would get you a burger and a bottomless side every day of the month of May for only $20 total. As expected, they sold out instantly.
Of course they did.
And even worse, their website crashed. So many people weren't even able to get the satisfaction of seeing that they were too late. A few people who did get through were mistakenly charged $682.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
Oh, no.
That's the maximum value of the promotion. Those charges have since been reversed. Red Robin never said how many of the passes they were selling, only that there were a limited number that would go quickly.
Red Robin.
Some fans were frustrated and vented on social media. One said, "I spent literally an hour refreshing the burger pass. What incredible incompetence."
I would say that this is their scheme worked. This is better than the pasta pass, the burger pass.
And they're also getting the publicity a day after, whether it's yay or nay. Red Robin apologized for the site going down, saying, "We did everything we could to anticipate interest in the bottomless burger pass." Such a PR department.
It's Johnny Robin, isn't it?
"But due to overwhelming excitement, our web..." This is completely... I wouldn't say... They might have crashed it on purpose.
Yeah, well, they wrote that before they launched the pass. Josh, what is your go-to? And Mike, by the way, Red Robin, free fries all you can eat, and they're great with their ranch sauce. But what is your burger go-to at Red Robin?
Well, it's a great place to take the kids because it's also bottomless mac and cheese. So the kids get with that.
But can a kid really do two bowls of mac and cheese? Really?
Mine can do three or four.
Really? Wow. That's incredible. Yes. Is it a small bowl or an average size bowl?
It's a... I could do one.
You could do one?
One's enough for me.
So you got an 11-year-old that just chows down on the mac and cheese? Wow.
Correct.
That's impressive.
The best burger, Mike, and I stay by this piece of advice to anyone. If a place ever offers a hamburger with a fried egg on it, get that burger.
It's very good.
It's amazing, and that's the best burger there.
What makes it good? It looks gross to me.
Oh, it's good. I think it's the yolk.
Ooh. Wait, hold on.
A nice... runny yolk.
It's just a little messy.
Where is it? Why put that up at the top, please? I play it almost more than any other one that I have, and it's down at the bottom, Mike. Thank you very much.
Yolk.
By the way, they like this one so much. Red Robin also hyping another sweepstakes that offers free burgers for a year.
Wow.
They posted details about that on their site, which is back up, but there will only be 12 winners. So that's like Taylor Swift VIP tickets.
Yeah. Ooh. If you want to check out their website, it's burgersformorons.org.
This is sad to me. It really makes me bummed out that nicknames are not a thing anymore. We are losing our desire for nicknames. The Wall Street Journal claims that they are going extinct. Let's see. There's an author in the Wall Street Journal that has five kids, aged 6 to 18, and none of them have been given nicknames by their friends. He says none of their friends seem to have one either. He claims all types of nicknames are in decline, everything from junior to calling your buddy from Dallas, Texas, and he thinks it's sad. Because nicknames are almost always a positive thing or a sign of affection. If you're not in a radio station or a podcast,
many negative nicknames.
I think my favorite nickname of the last 5 years was a guy in Robert's fraternity that they called Bun because he had a man bun. So they just called him Bun.
Best one, the one I loved, and it was not on our show. It was on the Big O and Duke show, and they had a big fat guy, and his nickname was Landfill.
I remember.
I love that nickname more than anything. And if you go back in the history of radio show nicknames, my God, tons of them, you know?
Yeah.
It's just all the time. And I think they still exist in sports, don't they, Josh? They all have nicknames in sports, don't they?
Sports has nicknames, yes.
So come on, don't put it to rest yet, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if I have a nickname for Billy Ray Cyrus or Elizabeth Hurley. But they're a thing.
What?
Did you know that?
No.
They've made it Instagram official. The British actress and American country musician.
Has she fallen apart?
Well, they cuddled up in a picture shared jointly on their Instagram accounts on Sunday, simply captioned, "Happy Easter." Gross. In the picture, Cyrus, decked out in a lime green bunny ears headband, embraces Hurley from the side and plants a kiss on her cheek. Hurley, wearing a cowboy hat, sports a radiant smile as the couple lean against an old wooden fence in the middle of what appears to be an open field.
I'd love to see her hold up a copy of today's newspaper because that doesn't sound right to me.
She is a favorite because she puts even at her age, lovely bikini pictures up on a regular basis on Instagram, and now she's with him. And horrible. What was his last claim? If he did something where
was at the Trump inauguration ball.
Do you think she likes the weed like he does? Do you think she's into it?
I don't know that there's enough weed in the world to make her like him.
Okay, well, we'll have to wait and see. A new study suggests that staying tech savvy later in life can reduce dementia risk. Isn't that good?
That is good.
The statistical analysis showed that technology use was associated with a 58% reduction in the risk of cognitive impairment. Additionally, tech users showed between 26 and 34% lower rates of cognitive decline over time. And if you have a parent or grandparent who's just staying away from technology, maybe revisit that. I know my mom, God rest her soul, was kind of anti-tech, is less and less elderly people are anti-tech now as we all get, it becomes older. More part of
my
our
mom is
lives.
Way, way into the dark web, and she's as youthful as can be. But
got me a new one over the weekend right here.
Hey, look at you.
Look at this. You know what this one has on its little case here? It's got a little stand on it. Can you
see that?
That's
great. I can't wait for that to break off. Because it will.
See, you sound even more anti-tech than I do by that when you make a comment like that.
Mike, a stand on your iPhone case is not technology.
Yeah,
no, it's not tech.
That pops
it's
out.
The same thing as a picture frame from.
But it's still
years
to me, it's a nice little feature. So especially I could probably use it on the show. How many times do we do selfies like this? What if you put the stand up and you get a better framed shot? And I like it. I know
you
it's not super tech.
You should get the stick because then you don't have height issues.
Yeah.
Because the stick can stand up. Look at the stick.
I will look at the stick. I don't do enough selfies. I do more videos now on TikTok than I've done before. But this I will say
this is what you need. A stick.
A stick. Okay. Yeah. I'll look into it.
And it has a button so you can take your picture from the stick. You don't have to touch it on the phone.
And it was a wonderful little greeting that they gave me on the stand here. It says, this is wonderful. This is where, to me, T-Mobile goes the extra mile with their cases.
I'm so sure.
Try the kickstand.
Isn't that nice? They said
we've brought the technology of motorcycles to your cell phone.
My son was very excited and was showing me some of the things it does regarding photos. Where
well,
you love taking
the photos. Yeah.
So the phone is new, not just the.
The phone is brand new.
Okay. And the case is new as well.
Right. Got the, but the case is what you were showing off.
I was showing because I like the kickstand.
Yes.
How much did you trade in your old phone?
I did.
How much does an iPhone 6 bring nowadays?
$45.
iPhone 6. I trade in my, my what was the first thing they had with all the music in it? I don't know.
Oh, the,
remember.
The iPod.
The iPod. Yeah. I traded an old iPod, but let's move on. I know tech. Detectives finally have recovered 4 diamond earrings from a suspected thief 2 weeks after he swallowed them. The man who was detained in Florida had told staff at Tiffany & Company that he was interested in buying earrings and a diamond ring on behalf of an Orlando Magic basketball player in February. That got them excited, and that got him back into the special money room. He was escorted into a VIP room where he could view the earrings, but a short time later, he jumped out of his chair, grabbed them, and forced his way out the door. That's according to the Orlando Police Department.
Now, when you go back there, Tiffany and Company, they call that the champagne room, right?
The champagne room. No sex in the champagne room. The 4 stolen earrings are valued at $770,000.
Wow.
And they match the serial number from the jewelry taken from the Tiffany store when they recovered them. They have been returned to the store now.
Easy to read the serial number?
After a short period of time, they have been returned to the store and are now featured as Tiffany's rare brown diamonds.
Oh, God.
There they are. These are they look great on you. They look really they look great on you, especially if you got a tan.
Yes. So good with your yellow teeth.
Lovely, lovely. We got to take a break. We'll come back with more fun and more thrills. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Try our Tiffany Brown Diamonds. You will never tire of them.
You know what, Mike? They're not good for a nose ring.
No, you don't want to do that. Hey, everybody, how would you like to be the most interesting person at the next beauty party? Don't make up a story about finding the most Easter eggs and making those loser 5-year-olds. I won't go if I take the old red glasses off my Sally Jesse Raphaels. Don't make up a story about finding them. Make those loser 5-year-olds break down in tears. You don't want to do that. That is a lie.
That is a lie.
Just show up with a bottle of wine from an independent winemaker with a truly unique story. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines, a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet, so you get a case of the market's best quality wines for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. With our code, you can get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99. Naked Wines believes that wine is an experience, so turn off the noise of the outside world and uncork a bottle to celebrate the little joys in life. Plus, you can pause or cancel at any time. You need to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/TMOS and put in our code TMOS for both the code and password. You'll get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99. You can't beat that deal. Shipping included. That's nakedwines.com/TMOS and code TMOS for 6 bottles for $39.99. Good luck fitting all those eggs in one basket. Which, as the Proverbs will tell you, is a bad idea to put all your eggs.
Don't put them all in one. No.
One basket. That's it. I want to talk about walking up music for baseball.
Yeah.
Michael and I were, Rob, I don't know if you have Marilyn Manson's The Beautiful People
anywhere in your collection,
but we're driving along and we're having a discussion with Michael, because some of the teams in the Little League bring out one of those boom boxes,
sure,
one of those speakers, and do a little music in between innings primarily. Not a lot of kids have the walk-up music, but I know at various levels of Little League, they have certain parents that have gone all out.
Yeah, and, travel ball especially, everyone's got one.
You're looking like you have it, Rob.
I don't. Like I'm checking the other source right now. But I'm curious. So, they don't do any of the Little League parks, travel ball excluded, have any sort of PA?
Not PA. They actually just bring the speaker down there. Do any of the teams you've played, Josh, have kids with music?
Yes, many of them do, where they bring the big speaker, set it up behind home plate, and it's really annoying. It's really frustrating to coach against those teams because you're trying to yell at your kids on the field,
sure,
and the music's just blaring.
I used to call the football games, and in the early football games at the high school, they would overlap with the baseball because the fields were adjacent, and there was all you heard was walk-up music. Just over and over again.
It can be, and the umpires get pissed.
Yeah,
the umpires get pissed when you're. But we're driving along. He said, "Oh, Michael, I've got your walk-up music. You play the intro to the Beautiful People." And it's like, and he liked it. He was smiling in the back, and then he's like, brought about three or four more. I said, "Well, they're not going to play that, but he likes to play that." Has that been a part of any of your little leagues that you have coached, Mr. Soroka?
No, because I always ban it on my teams because the coach has to manage that or get another parent to do that.
Our coach sucks.
And I find it a distraction. So I always told the kids, no, that's for travel ball.
And also you would be, now, if you had to do it as a guy with a history in live sound, you would always be, if you did it, you'd commit 100% and double your workload probably.
Well, yeah. And I always thought, I don't want the kids to pick out the songs. I want to be the one to pick out the song that's appropriate for the kid. Mm-hmm. I want to look at the kid's play style and be like, I know what song you need going up.
Yeah. My coach picked mine out when I played baseball. I played travel ball for one season, and my walk-up song was The Candyman.
There is a fun, I think I saw it on TikTok. There is a fun for April Fool's Day where the moms picked out the songs for the kids walking up, and the kids didn't know until they're walking up.
So that's
a fun bit.
All right. This could be fun. Because Rob might not have Marilyn Manson. I didn't expect him to, but he certainly would have. Do you have Easter Parade?
Yeah, of course.
Of course he has Easter. We're going to give you a few choices for. These are over the seasons that Rob played travel ball, his walk-up music.
Let me just bring up my travel music.
This is Rob's travel music, music.
I only played travel ball one season, and that's the problem.
Now, you had a story about walk-up music for baseball,
yeah, it's
right?
The most common songs, and it actually is in a form of a chart, and they show the players that choose the songs.
Oh, so, who cares? I'm more interested in your walk-up music. There they are.
Yeah.
All right.
But I'm curious about one thing, is that I don't know but maybe three songs on this list. Did you know that the third most popular song for Walk Up is The Stroke by Billy Squire, which is great.
Great intro.
But it's so old.
It is old, but it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, and remember, for a Walk Up song, you only need 10 seconds.
10 seconds of an intro that works.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Another one that surprised me at number, I think it's 8, Edge of 17 by Stevie Nicks. Another great intro, though.
Now, Rob, one of yours, and you should tell the truth, one of yours was At 17 by Janis Ian.
Well, I would always choose a Janis Ian record.
Everybody in the crowd would be like, I can't hear it. Yes, Josh.
I was going to say, it doesn't have to be the intro. Many of the times, it's just the chorus.
Or the cue
into
it.
So they'll get you just on the hook.
Mm. Right. Well, let's hear some of Rob's walk-up music. Here's
one of them right here.
Okay. Batting last.
Oh, no reverb for this? Come on.
Sorry about that.
In your Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it.
Betting. Third. Rob Spiewak.
In the Easter parade.
There you go.
Beautiful.
Took a while, but we got it. That's wonderful. I think it's fun.
I think it's fun on pro games.
The little guys want to do is emulate the stars, unless you come across a real curmudgeon of a coach like Josh Soroka, who says, not on my watch, ladies and gentlemen.
My kids got distracted by enough other things that I didn't need music as well.
When they're out there throwing their gloves in the air and catching their gloves in right field.
Now, I am going later today to one of my nephew's games, and I know he has walk-up music.
Because you're in Georgia, right?
I'm in Georgia. I'm in Georgia for the week.
How are you enjoying?
Music?
Yeah.
I don't know what he settled on for walk-up music.
How
I know
Georgia
there was a little controversy.
Did he choose Strangehold or Stranglehold by Ted Nugent?
I know there was a...
I don't have it. No.
What are you twitching around for? I was waiting for you to play something different. I don't know what's going on. I wanted to say you're in with your brother, sister up in Georgia right
now? I'm at my mother-in-law's home.
You're at your mother-in-law's house.
We came up here, had Easter with all of her family yesterday.
Sounds good. You sound great up there, by the way. Sounds good. Your microphone's wonderful.
Oh, how is your mother-in-law? Is she like a good mother-in-law or like a Flintstones mother-in-law?
No, she's great.
Good.
Okay. She's great.
Not like Pearl Slag Hoople. No.
This is South Georgia. This is South Georgia where every town is basically like Mayberry or like a rundown Mayberry. It's all small towns.
Notice you are going 2 miles over the speed limit. You're in our county now. You got to be careful the way you drive. That's it in Southern Georgia. There you go.
That's
you can say here, courtesy of the state. Yeah,
heavy Southern accents where you are in this part of the state.
Yeah, and where everyone knows each other.
So howdy!
You run into the grocery store and they know you.
Buford, I noticed the price of eggs came down a tick. There you go. By the way, have you heard some of Rob Spiewak's walk-up music? He's he's got some interesting stuff. Let me play a cut from one of Rob's musical selections here.
All right, thank you.
Oh, Danny Boy.
Batting eighth. Well, I got to use my thing here. Sorry, if he's going to do it, I have to.
All right, go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry, ready to go.
Ladies and gentlemen, batting seven. Rob Spiegel.
Elvis's version of that. Thank you. Thank you very much. We have to take a break. And when we come back. Yes, we must. Elon Musk gets creepier.
If that is such a thing as possible.
Humanly possible. And a very quick reference to the Diet Destroyer. Yes, even I occasionally slip up. Like I did this weekend, and I know why, and I'm not going to do it again. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hi, everybody. Sometimes you just can't fall asleep, and that's frustrating, right? Right, Mike. However, today's episode of this podcast sponsored by Soul.
Oh, you got to have Soul.
The team at Soul just launched their new out-of-office nightcap gummies, which are similar to their world-famous sleep gummies. Is it sleep or sleepy?
Sleep gummies.
Well, you wrote it S-L-E-E-P-I, and you know I read everything, so am I supposed to say sleep-eye gummies?
No, I think sleep is right. That must be, I must have made a...
They haven't... Well, sometimes I'm wondering whether they're eating a few of their gummies and coming up with something more creative.
Could be, that's true, yeah.
Nightcap gummies have 3 milligrams of THC for people who require something a little stronger to go to sleep. THC and melatonin and Soul's nightcap gummies work together to promote deep restorative sleep. How? Well, I'll tell you. Well, shut up. Of course I will. Well, do it then. THC helps you go to sleep faster and stay asleep longer. The melatonin signals to your body that it's time to sleep. And Soul's out-of-office nightcap gummies also contain CBN and CBD.
Just in, they are sleepy with an eye. Sleepy gummies.
Sleepy gummies?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the first time I've had it where it says that.
Well, the new ones are the out-of-office gummies. They replace the sleepy gummies because they've got a little something extra. So
well, you
different.
Sleep deeply and you wake up without feeling groggy. That's the most important part. And, of course, Soul obviously made them absolutely delicious. Blueberry lemonade. Plus, if you want to treat yourself, crack open a cold out-of-office sparkling THC beverage. Delicious and relaxing and perfect for the TMOS cocktail party. Well, we just had the TMOS cocktail party.
I swear to God I changed that for a cocktail party. My apologies.
Like Rob. Subscribe to these wonderful little helpers. They really work, and I love them. Slumber City, sweetheart. Hit snooze on crappy sleep and prepare for a great night. Go to GetSoul.com and use code TMOS for 30% off your order. That's 30% off your order using code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com and code TMOS for 30% off. And now a slogan. Rock-a-bye, baby, on the treetop. Take a Soul gummy, insomnia will stop.
That's no charge. I wrote that for them.
Whew. Welcome back to the show, and Elon Musk being creepier. But before that, I do want to share with you.
Oh, the Diet Destroyer.
The Diet Destroyer, in my humble opinion, and I did this when I went to the Mart of Wall on the day that our Lord rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
I bought cereal. A pox on you, cereals.
What did you buy?
I bought Raisin Bran.
Oh,
and I bought frosted mini wheats. I had a massive bowl, and I might as well have just poured some fat into my stomach.
Was the Raisin Bran purchase for anything medicinal?
No.
Okay, because that's the main reason I would go to Raisin.
No, Carla likes Raisin Bran. Michael likes frosted mini wheats. I enjoyed a bowl of both yesterday and got on the scale and was like, and I didn't even get to my yummy fake diet margarita drink that I'm going to share with you tomorrow. But I will tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, bad. And cereal in our house, it's like bringing in crack cocaine because we all love that too. And it goes so fast. It's ridiculous.
Do you take your crack cocaine with 2% or whole milk?
I use almond milk for my crack cocaine. No, it's just it's nasty. But that's no.
Do you use cow milk on your cereal though?
No, almond milk.
Gross.
Yeah, and Diet Coke.
It says the man who does not like anything healthy. I bet you use 100% whole fat milk, right?
It's where all the vitamins are.
It's bad for you.
Vitamins, I'm a 2% guy.
Almond 2% milk is full of sugar, you know.
What's that?
Almond milk is full of sugar.
But it's not full of fat.
Fat is good for you. Don't you read the papers?
You can eat eggs
and you can eat fat now. Those are outmoded things. You're not supposed to stay away from fat.
God, almond milk is what I drink. And then my son likes skim. And we drink all three. We've got right now in the refrigerator, we've got zero fat, we've got almond, and we've got 2%. Okay. But no whole fat milk. It tastes like, really, if you drink the other stuff, the real milk tastes like cream. It's that heavy.
That is so great. Isn't it great, though? Like in coffee. If you have coffee, you have yourself a cup of Charlie's Choice?
I have black coffee.
If you put some milk in it, some whole milk, organic whole milk, forget about it. You'd be great.
God damn it. God damn it.
What the hell is the matter with you if you tilt a cup?
And I dressed for the day.
So if you're joining us by audio, Mike was displaying his black coffee to a point that
poured it all over myself with a nice gray outfit.
You better sue McDonald's.
That's going to leave him. Oh, it's burning. It burns.
Better on you than the computer.
That's true. Yes. What about like cashew milk? Have you tried other nut milks?
I probably have, but not a lot. You know, the common ones are the almonds. That's the ones. And, you know, I don't know what the sugar content or what the health benefits are.
And it's also just, people are nuts about almonds because they're apparently really bad for the environment. The amount of water it takes to grow an almond.
This is a man who seeks out health food to diss on this show, you know. You almost died. I should point that out. That's very important for people.
And you know, milk had nothing to do with that. If I'd had more milk, I might not have almost died.
Diabetes, you know, maybe that might have been better for you to avoid some of the fatty products that you were in. It's,
for diabetes, you're mostly concerned with lactose, which is milk sugars. They'll drive your blood sugar right up. I don't live on it.
You seem to be an advocate for ill health, and I just try to keep that.
I'm an advocate for what tastes best. And
that's
milk
not,
tastes
what
best.
Tastes good is not always good for you.
There are things that taste good that are good for you. Like, what about superfoods like berries? They taste good.
All right. Let's move on, shall we?
Brownies taste good. They're not as good for you. But brownies are great with a cup of milk. And the milk has vitamins A and D.
Who
needs to go outside, Mike, to get vitamin D? All you got to do is drink a half gallon of Costco organic full-fat milk. And that's how they should market it. Not whole milk. Full-fat.
Full-fat whole milk. In fact, if you could, you'd get it right from the cow and you'd skim the cream off the top and save it for later.
It's wild. Our HOA made me get rid of the cow.
It's wild.
That is wild. Like every now and then, some real piece of us comes out on the air, and me saying wild.
Wild.
That's so genuine.
Man, this whole fat milk is wild. is wild.
That's yum, wild yum. Milk, I'll tell you
what. All right, we only have a couple of seconds for Elon. What's the deal with Elon Musk?
Okay,
now?
Elon has 14 kids that we know of. The Wall Street Journal says Elon has a habit of asking women not to have sex. He has a habit of asking women to let him impregnate them. And he refers to his children as his legion. Now, in a text, Elon allegedly sent to one of his baby mamas, who's called Ashley St. Clair, who, by the way, sounds like she might be featured on the Spice Network, Ashley St. Clair, says that...
Spice Network. That's a recent reference.
Yeah, but people of a certain age will remember it. This girl, Ashley, turned down $15 million to keep her paternity a secret, which says to me, if one has come forward, there has to be other people that have taken $15
million. So are you telling me that when he wants to...
He wants to add to his legion.
I'm online that is like, would you like to be the father of one of Elon Musk's children? Is that what he does? Is that how he seduces by his fame and stuff like that?
It doesn't talk about his method. But the weird thing is it's not about sex for him. It's about conception. And this Ashley St. Clair.
Hold on. Stop for a second.
Well, yeah. I was just going to fill you in with Ashley St. Clair is a right-wing conservative blogger who, I guess, interviewed Elon many times before the impregnation.
Oh, so she's not
a
porn star.
Let me ask both of you. Do you think this is not being concerned about... I think this is maybe a pickup line for him.
A kink?
But I mean, no, not even a kink, but that's how he gets to sleep with women by that's his come on. Like, do you think that might be possible?
It could be. I would not say it's wrong, but this is the weirdest part is this Ashley St. Clair says, remember, he refers to all of his children as his legion.
You said that already. Yeah.
And Ashley St. Clair says she has a text from Elon that says to reach legion level before the apocalypse, we will need to use surrogates. So he's having sex with everybody to raise, what, an army of Musks? I don't know. But the whole thing sounds creepy to me.
Yeah, well, Josh, also, do you think this is true?
Well, she's also in a lawsuit with Elon back and forth over stuff. So I don't know how much of it's true, but I know he is very much in, hey, we are under the repopulation number. So he definitely thinks we need to have more kids.
Wow. It's weird.
It is. I told you it was weird. I told you.
Very, very strange.
It doesn't say about his milk preferences, though.
No. And for $15 million, he could impregnate a lot of people.
Yeah, I'd let him impregnate me for $15 million.
Yeah, I'd keep quiet for like $80.
Yes. Whole fat milk. Rob wants them to rename it at Costco. Kirkland. Full fat organic milk. Full fat. Whole. Kirkland, don't worry about it. Mike, we'll be back in a... That you can drink. Yum, yum, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, we have a new sponsor. We are sponsored today by Ethos. Here's some food for thought, people. Would your family be prepared financially if anything were to happen to you? The last thing you want your family to worry about is how they're going to pay the bills. Think about it. Tuition, your mortgage, even funeral expenses. But with life insurance from Ethos, your family is protected. I always thought that the traditional life insurance process was complicated, but Ethos is an online platform that makes getting life insurance fast and easy. You can protect your family's future, and you can do it in minutes, not months. There's no complicated process, and it's 100% online. No medical exam is required. Mm-hmm. You just answer a few health questions. You can get same-day coverage without ever leaving your house. With Ethos, you can get a free quote, but you can customize a rate that fits your budget. Mm-hmm. 3 million families, 3 million, have completed their applications and trusted Ethos to help find the right coverage. You should too. It's more affordable than you think. Protect your family with life insurance from Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/TMOS. That's ethos.com/TMOS, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
It was warm this weekend.
Yeah. It's all summer long. Hi, everybody.
Do you like Rob Lowe?
Yes.
I do.
I like, you know, I like his work, and I think he's got an ability to laugh at himself. So any celebrity that does that is okay with me.
Now, I don't know if this is staged because someone is filming it, but if it's not, it's funny. And if it is, it's still pretty funny. Okay. Rob Lowe was spotted in Hollywood by one of those tour buses, you know, that you get in, they drive around, and they hope to see a star.
Okay. Last one you played was like The Rock.
He looks like
him. Okay, guys, am I John Stamos?
No! No!
The guy identified him as John Stamos in the parking lot of the store.
I will say he sounds mic'd up.
Yeah, but I think what it is that they've really enhanced the audio so it sounds that way. But watch again. It's funny how he handles it when he's been pointed out that he's the wrong guy. I've just started again.
John Stamos. He looks like him. Okay,
guys, am I John Stamos?
No!
No!
Who am I?
I have to say one thing.
Dude, you gotta get married.
What's that?
That man is well into his 50s, is he not?
Yeah, he's older than me, I think. Oh, he's absolutely older than me. He's got to be 60.
And that's him on the street.
Yeah,
how good
great.
Does that dude look? Wow.
You know what? Put him in the pit.
I bet he drinks fat
61
free milk.
61 years old.
61 years old. God bless him. Now, look, there are probably some surgeries involved, but, you know, I don't care. Right. Rob Lowe still manages to look stunning, and that
you
hair.
See that hair?
Oh, that hair is phenomenal. That's whoever's his stylist. Go ahead, Rob.
Do you still shop at his box store for hardware?
Lowe's all the time.
It's great.
By the way, Lowe's, thanks for not having the right filters for my air conditioning.
Yeah, and thanks for not selling ham.
Yeah, Lowe's. Come on. Rob just wanted a simple spiral cut.
That's all I wanted.
Next to the screwdrivers.
Mike Jelly Roll has lost like 7,000 pounds.
Good for him.
No, I think it is 200. He's closing in on 200 pounds that he's lost. He was over 500 when he started.
500?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was on the talk show with Luke Bryan. So, of course, it called my attention to it. And they asked him what the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to him on stage was.
It's a doozy about Dookie.
I pooped myself one time.
Hey! That's it. That's
you want
all you
more?
Got.
Yeah, I can give you more.
Does he explain it?
Yeah, he does. But I just liked it isolated.
I like the team.
I did. I'm sorry.
Turns out Jelly gambled and lost with his bodily functions, and he's worried his confession is definitely not okay with the audience.
Listen, it was what they call it. I didn't know.
The bleeped word was shart.
Shart. So, yeah.
I was confident it was all there. It was not.
Well, they say never trust one.
I'm so sorry.
Never
I watched this crowd go from loving me to just being completely out.
Mike, he said...
How do you not like that dude, right?
You got to like him, especially when he says, I thought it was completely air.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
That's the definition of that word, the shark. That's it. Absolutely.
I don't know. I'm surprised I didn't see you there, Mike, but I had a great weekend at Coachella. It was such a great concert.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Really.
I couldn't believe that. Lady
I got a new, I got a new guy that I'm just in love with. He's been around for a long time, but he's such a virtuoso. Billy Strings. Are you familiar with Billy Strings?
I'm not.
Billy Strings is one of my all-time favorite bluegrass musician. I think he played Coachella, which is unusual for that kind of act to play Coachella. And I just love
Billy
Strings.
Well, they had six stages, I think, this year. So they had all manner of music. This was my favorite moment.
Okay.
Is I like Dave Grohl. I like Foo Fighters. My favorite Foo Fighters song is Everlong. I think it's a beautiful song.
Great song.
He performed Everlong with a choir and an orchestra.
Wow.
And it was really cool.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Horns just doing the bass line.
Hello, I've waited here for you.
That is actually the Los Angeles Philharmonic that played with him.
That's awesome.
And I think I love that. Do you remember when Aerosmith, it was for the movie... The Last Action Hero, the Arnold movie. They did Dream On with a symphony.
Hey, I have a question.
It was beautiful. Yeah.
About Coachella. So the big story coming out of Coachella, Lady Gaga and her mic malfunction. Did you have any, is there a video of that floating around?
There was audio that was so muddy, I didn't even pull it.
But
she basically just said, now I'm sorry that my mic broke up, But now you know I sing live.
There it is. Yeah, that's there a good go. Cover for that. Absolutely.
Let's close with this, Mike. I know that when you were little, didn't you often go to Lexington, Massachusetts?
Like, my sister lived in Lexington, Rob.
No way.
Oh, 100%. I've been to Lexington multiple times. Yeah,
well, she
absolutely.
Picked a lousy time to go to Hawaii for her luau, her Easter luau, because they had the, I think it's the bicentennial or the 250th anniversary of the starting of the revolution, and the revolution started at Lexington, right?
Yeah, Paul Revere, yeah.
So 100%. They brought out a huge memorial arch to honor the
event. And they still came. People still came out to greet him because it was so exciting to celebrate the 100th anniversary, which is why we're inspired.
Now you can see that she's waiting for the arch.
The arch?
Yeah, it's a memorial arch. And look, it's beautiful, is it not?
Welcome to the birthplace of American liberty. Oh, no.
They go immediately to a graphic.
You got to roll that one again.
People should know they push the arch forward and it crumbles. It literally crumbles.
He's going to open the curtain.
Here we go.
Here come the guys. Here come the guys. Yeah.
The top.
Great. It's worth it.
It was worth it. And
It was worth it.
I do love that they go right to the graphic. Now, do you know who the most famous daughter, I would say child, of Lexington is? And
who?
They got her to come. Rachel Dratch from Saturday Night Live.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate you sharing that.
But I just wanted to share what she said because I think you would enjoy it.
That's what I said when I used to walk around Lexington as, man, people are beautiful here. The beautiful people. It all comes full circle.
After the Marshfield, she says, and as you know, everyone will be going home with a piece of the arch.
Very nice. Very, very clever. I'll have to ask my sister when she gets back from Hawaii. That's it. We got to get out of here for Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak. This is Mike O'Mara saying have a great day, everybody. Enjoy your Easter money, and we'll see you tomorrow, Easter Monday. Thank you, and so long, everybody.
Bye-bye, folks.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.